Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right to the phone calls. First up is Joe, listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I want to first thank you and all of your staff for everything you do. And I've used your website and got some valuable information from there. My question of the day is, if I've prayed for help from the devil, what does that mean for me?
Well, let me ask you, are you a believer now?
I am.
You sounded very much like a believer when you gave the prologue to your question. So in a sense, I'm asking you to confirm what you already know. And that is, you are a believer. You realize that you are a sinner. You've repented of your sin, including once praying to the devil. You've repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. The old is gone. The new has come. Forget what is behind and press on. You can know what is behind so you don't repeat the error, but you now know Satan is the adversary, that Satan is not the one that you pray to. It is God that you pray to, and it is God that sustains you. It is God that gives you every breath. Forget the past, press on, serve him with all the zeal you have in the entirety of your being.
Yes, sir.
God completely forgives you. We've all done things, and you know, sometimes I think it's instructive to go to Psalm 51 and maybe even memorize Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out my transgressions. Just pray sincerely that God will forgive you, and he will forgive you. And he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And not only that, he will lay before you purpose, provision, and a future of service to him.
Okay. Some of my doubt stems from an experience I had in a church. I feel like now I've felt the Holy Spirit pushing me to accept Jesus. And I didn't know what I was doing or what was going on, and I kind of sat back and I just didn't answer that, I guess, and it's been in my head since then. And
but you're here at a particular stage.
Yes, sir.
And at this point in time, you can say, I realize that I'm a sinner. I've repented of my sin, which is simply saying I've made a U-turn on the road of life. I'm no longer living by the dictates of my own will. I'm turning and following Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're doing things perfectly every day. You're not. Neither am I. But you are forgiven, you've repented, and you have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, and now is conforming you to his image. So go from where you are right now, a realization that if, in fact, you have recognized Jesus Christ, confessed him as Savior and Lord, you have everlasting life. So press forward. What you've done in the past is in the past. Press forward. Use your life. Make it a life of service. Make it a life that counts.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Grow. Do the things you need to do to grow. You have to exercise disciplines. Read the Bible. Pray. Be involved in a healthy, well-balanced church. Learn to communicate what you believe and why, and live with eternity in mind.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
All right.
Hey, good talking to you, Joe.
Thank you.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Gary, listening in British Columbia. Hi, Gary.
Well, hi, Hank. It's good to talk to you. I've been listening to your show for quite a while now. And I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
I studied the Bible years ago with Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes.
And I know they believe that the kingdom, God's kingdom, will be on heaven, on earth,
mm-hmm.
as compared to heaven.
Yes.
And what is the actual biblical belief to that?
Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses actually believe that God has two people. He has an earthly people and he's got a heavenly people, 144,000. And that's completely unbiblical. The biblical view is that when Jesus Christ comes again or appears a second time, he will put all things to right, which is to say, this universe is going to be restored to what it was before the fall. So paradise lost will become paradise restored. God himself will live with us, which is to say, if you read Revelation chapter 21,
mm-hmm.
John sees the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for a husband, hears a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men.
Mm-hmm.
He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, that is an indication that what has been lost will be restored. As God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, so God will be with us in a restored universe, no longer bearing the stain of sin and sickness, of destruction and decay and disease. All of that will have passed away. So that's what the entirety of Scripture is about. It's the fall where man falls into a life of constant sin, terminated by death, all the way to the restoration where we once again are completely restored to intimate fellowship with the Lord. So we will have then in reality what we only know faintly now. So even though you have been redeemed, you still have a sin nature. We still live in a cursed creation. The creation still groans in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, Paul says in Romans chapter 8. So we're waiting for what we do not yet have, and we are earnestly expecting it. That's what we look forward to.
Okay, so the belief that when we die, we'll just fly away to heaven, that is a fallacy?
Well, yes and no. Remember, when you were born, when your mother conceived you, she didn't just conceive a body. She conceived a body-soul unity. That's what it means to be human. She conceived a human being. At death, there's an unnatural rending between the body and the soul. The soul goes to be with the Lord as a believer, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The body goes back to the earth from whence it came.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus appears a second time, the soul will return to the body. In other words, you will be truly human again, and you will be restored to what you would have been had sin never entered the world. The DNA that makes you you will be the DNA that makes you you for all eternity, but that DNA will flourish in a complete pristine universe, so it will never devolve. So when you are transformed, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, you will become the you you would have been if sin had never entered the world.
Oh, I see. Okay. Do you have a scripture I could look up for that?
Yes, a couple of scriptures. The first, the most significant one, is probably the one that you would find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I wouldn't say just the verse there, but I would say the entirety of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 would be significant. Then also 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Home in the body means absent from the Lord. Absent from the body means to be home with the Lord. So at present, if you were to die today, your soul would be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus returns again, then your soul would be with the Lord, but it would be in a body. In other words, you would be truly human again.
I see. So when the Bible says that God will make his tent with men, that means that when Jesus returns to earth, then he will be with us on earth.
Absolutely, in a renewed universe.
Okay.
Yes, and if we can exhaust exploring this universe, God can create other universes for us to explore.
Okay, that's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you very much, Hank. I really appreciate your show.
You got it.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for calling. And I wrote about all of this and much more in a book called Resurrection. I am absolutely astounded at the misconceptions people have about death and the afterlife. And as believers, we should have a proper understanding of these things. That's what we look forward to. That's what we long for. That's the cornerstone of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, ensuring our resurrection. Again, all of that in my book, Resurrection. Check it out on the web at equip.org or simply talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Alan listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm well. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too. Got a question for you. I lost my faith about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And lately, I just catch myself, you know, listening to programs like yours. And I'm having a hard time, you know, finding the faith that I had as a kid.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you had any suggestions as to, you know, I've been told to, you know, keep an open mind and so on. And I've tried that. And it just ain't coming to me.
Yeah. Well, Alan,
I'm looking for some guidance.
Sure. So glad you called. Let me say that what I would do is go back to basics. This is what I do when my faith gets shaken. And all of us at one point or other are going to have our faith shaken by circumstances, but never broken. Because you can go back to those pillars and posts that are unbreakable. Which is to say, we can go back to a certain knowledge that God created the universe, that we're not functions of random chance. The notion that nothing creates everything is absurd in an age of scientific enlightenment. So the notion that an uncaused first cause created what we see makes nothing but good common sense. Every effect, an effect like the universe, has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So once you establish the notion that there is a God, the second thing you can look at is whether that God is knowable. And in a biblical worldview, you can know that God is knowable because he's not just transcendent, he made himself knowable in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So then you want to know, is Christ just another good teacher, or was he God? And I think the essential evidence for Jesus being God comes to us from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, wherein we see that he had not only the power to lay down his life or to die, but the power to take up his life again, which sets him apart uniquely as God, as being divine. And there's a cumulative case that can be built for the resurrection that's unshakable. Then thirdly, you have to look at the Bible that you've read cover to cover several times as not merely human, but divine in origin, which is to say that you can look at manuscript evidence, archaeological evidence, prophecy, scriptural synergy, and again you can see a case for the fact that these cannot be the words of men alone. They have to be the words of men inspired by God, such that what you have in the Bible corresponds to reality. What's interesting about the Bible is not only that the people, the places, and the particulars correspond to what has been discovered archaeologically, so we see that the Bible's rooted in history and evidence. But beyond that, we see prophecy made in the Old Testament miraculously fulfilled in the New, demonstrating that God must be superintending the writing, because you can't pawn off these prophecies to luck or good guessing or deliberate deceit. These are not prophecies like the prophecies of Nostradamus. These are prophecies that can be verified and can be rendered invalid if, in fact, they were invalid. In other words, they're falsifiable. So I think you go back to those pillars and posts, and I have some really good resources in this regard. I have a book on origins which demonstrates that the creation origin is the only model that's acceptable in an age of scientific enlightenment, quite frankly. And then I also have a book on resurrection which gives you all of the evidence for not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but your resurrection as well. And then I have some information that can help you with respect to seeing that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
I was going to say, because I've got, you know, disagreements with about everything that you just said, or reasons why I just can't make it click. I can't believe it.
Well, let's start with number one.
I have faith.
Let's start with the first thing I said. Let's start with the issue of origins.
Correct.
What's the problem?
I can't believe in a, I mean, you were talking about a first mover. You know, my question is, that keeps popping up in my mind is, okay, where did God come from? There had to be something that created God.
No, because the universe had to have a beginning, according to modern science. But unlike the universe, God is eternal, and therefore there's no necessity whatsoever to suppose that God has a cause. To suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe had to have a cause always leads to a logical dead end. Because what you have there is an infinite regression of finite causes, and that does not answer the question of source. It merely multiplies the effects. But simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion. It didn't spring out of nothing. It hasn't eternally existed, so it had to be caused, right? I mean, simple logic tells you that the universe didn't come about by itself.
Okay, I could grant that plausibility. But then we get into, you know, is this God the watchmaker type and just lets it run, or the personal God that you talk about?
Well, again, this question is answered, Alan, by looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ or the incarnation of Jesus Christ to begin with. In other words,
yeah. I mean, many other holy texts, you know, the Quran and lots of Middle Eastern texts talk about resurrections as well.
Well, not
in, and I'm not saying that they're all of these books are equal. Obviously, you have your choice in it, but you know, there's, you know, lots of these others. So just it to me, it's an issue of, you know, if I had been born in Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
I would be a Muslim. A, I wouldn't have a choice, but B, that's what I would have been brought up with. I'd be listening to a guy on the radio talking about that. So it comes down to where you're born.
No, it doesn't. What it comes down to, Alan, is not where you're born, but whether you want to receive light. That's what it comes down to. And that's a biblical statement. When Paul was arguing this very question on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, what he points out is that from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and God did this so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of them. Which is to say that the problem is not where you're born, because if you're born in Saudi Arabia, you can still see the sun come up every morning. You can still see the stars at night. You can still see the moon. You can still see irreducible complexity in biological systems. And on the basis of that, you can recognize that there has to be a creator. I mean, if we look at a basketball, we say there has to be a basketball maker. Much more, the universe requires a creator. So if you're born in Saudi Arabia, you still have the light of creation. If you're born in Saudi Arabia, you still have the light of conscience. In other words, you still have a knowledge of God imprinted upon the tablet of your consciousness. So you have an outer light and you have an inner light wherever you live on the planet. And Jesus Christ said, if you respond to light, you will receive light. The reason people don't respond to light is because they love darkness, which is another point that Jesus Christ made with Nicodemus. It's not that there's not enough light, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So again, it doesn't matter where you're on the planet. You have the light of creation, you have the light of conscience, and if you respond to that, you can have the light of Christ. But you're not in Saudi Arabia. You're right here talking to me, and I'm telling you all of the evidence, so you don't have to read it in a book. You don't have to look it up on the internet. I'm dialoguing with you about these things.
Right, but that's where my issue comes into. It's the lack of faith, and I don't know how to find that faith again.
Well, you have to understand what kind of faith you're looking for. You're not looking for blind faith. You're looking for faith in evidence, and that's why I'm saying, look at the evidence. And the reason I'm passionate about this is I was in your position when I was 29 years of age. I looked at the evidence for origins, which I doubted the creation model. I looked at the evidence for the Bible, and I looked at the evidence for resurrection, which has taken me on the path that I've taken in life. So it's never a blind faith, Alan. It's always faith in evidence. So you examine the evidence, and does the evidence correspond to reality? That's the question. And there are only, you look at the universe, it's not like there are a million different options. Either the universe eternally existed, as the Greeks thought, that doesn't fly anymore in Age of Scientific Enlightenment, or the universe sprang from nothing. Nobody credible thinks that. So what are you left with? Is it an illusion? Maybe some benighted person in some Eastern country thinks that, but certainly we don't believe that in an age of scientific enlightenment in the West. Even a full-blown solipsist looks both ways before he crosses the street. That leaves you only one other choice, and that is in the beginning God.
I'm going to have to look into those books of yours to actually take a look at the evidence myself.
Start with the issue of origins. That's the place to start. I wrote a book called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. I also have a shorter version of that called Fatal Flaws. So you hang on, I'll get one of those books into your hands.
All right, thank you.
You got it, Alan. Call me if you need anything else.
Appreciate you.
You too. Appreciate your candidness, and that's why we do what we do. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. See you next time with more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.